This morning we're going to continue in the book of 1 Peter. We're in chapter number 2. Now last week we looked at being strong from the beginning. And we looked at the importance of feeding on the Word of God, amen. We looked at the importance of not feeding on some other things, feeding our flesh with some sinful habits. And now we're going to look at being strong in considering Him. And the verses we're going to read this morning, oftentimes are verses we just read over and we take them in, but we don't really know what they mean. And it's important for us to look at the Word of God, isn't it? And we're going to enjoy that together. Let's have a look in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verses 4 to 8. Have a look with me as I read aloud. Verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, we're speaking about Christ this morning, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and what's the next word?
Precious.
Ye also, as believers, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the reason this book was written, Lord, to strengthen believers in a day of trial and suffering and persecution. Lord, we also live in such a day that the faith is being attacked, Lord, where our friends and neighbours oftentimes reject us for being Christians. And Lord, help us to walk in victory in the day in which we live. Help us, Lord, to not be on the retreat, Lord, but to be on the advance, pressing forward and onward, and being mighty witnesses in this day. Lord, we need your strength. We need your word. Lord, help us to see the truths of your word. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher this morning, as, Lord, you speak to us through these wonderful words of Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we have come to know, the letter of 1 Peter was addressed to the pilgrims, the strangers of the dispersion. That is, they went out into the regions beyond Judea and Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad. These were not the Gentile churches. These were not the Jewish Christians still in Jerusalem. Peter preached to the scattered tribes that were eastward. And we know that they were undergoing intense persecution, intense and horrific trials in their lives. And as we continue in these passages, we see that Peter speaks about Christ, whom is precious. He is precious. Now, throughout this book, Peter speaks about some precious things. And you know, there are many things that ought to be precious to us as Christians, but most of all, it's to be the Lord. And so often we don't realize or take time to think about how precious he really is. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible tells us that the trial of our faith is precious. Then the blood of Christ is precious. The living stone, as we've just read in the Word, is precious. The Lord Jesus Christ is precious. The like precious faith is precious. God's promises are precious. You know, this wonderful book is filled with things that are precious to us, because when we hold them to our heart, that's when we are able to live in victory in the Christian life. Amen. That's when we are able to live through our trials and circumstances, trusting in our Lord and not being overcome by them. You see, in order for us to live the Christian life, what God wants us to be precious for us needs to be held close to our heart. And Peter was encouraging these believers. And look, after a long life of serving the Lord, Peter faced many battles, didn't he? He faced many trials, but he wanted these believers to know that there is one thing that they needed not to forget, that he is precious. There is none else like him. He is the one and only. The Lord here emphasizes that Jesus Christ is a stone. Well, what does it mean? Notice verse 4. He is a living stone. There are your notes, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Isaiah 28, verse 16. The Bible says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Now, I'm just pointing this verse out to you by way of introduction, because here we see Peter refers to what God had already said in Isaiah's day. Now, remember, what was the spiritual condition of God's people during Isaiah's day? That's right. They were falling away into apostasy. In fact, they were knee deep. And we know that the nation was in big trouble. They were falling apart. And God wanted them to know that in that day in which they lived, they had something precious that they needed to come back to, which was the Lord. He is the foundation of their lives. Now, likewise, as Christians, when we face trials, when we face affliction and difficulties, when our life seems to be turned upside down, perhaps like these believers who faced intense persecution, that's one situation of trial in our Christian lives, we need to come back to something. In fact, we need to come back to someone, which is the rock of our salvation, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's whom we're going to look at for a few moments this morning. All right, that was our little intro, Roman numeral number 1. Let's look at our foundation. Our foundation. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. The blank is foundation. "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." So Christ is described as a living stone, a precious stone. You see, Christ is a rock, the Bible tells us. For those of us who have trusted him as our Savior, Christ is simply the foundation of our lives. That's one application. He's the foundation of our lives. As Christians, our lives are built upon the rock, amen? Our lives are built upon Jesus Christ. And if we have trusted in him for our salvation, he is our stronghold, amen? He is a shelter in a time of storm. Now, would you agree with me this morning that there are many storms in the Christian life? Is that right? Or maybe I'm the only one. No, I'm not. I'm sure. You know, there are many storms in the Christian life. And as Christians, we need somewhere to shelter, don't we? We need somewhere to hide. We need something, or indeed someone, to depend on. You know, God never meant us to face those storms alone. And yet so often when difficulties come, what do? Well, we look to hide ourselves in other things. We look to perhaps run away from those trials. I've done that before. You know, or think, hey, if I can just go away on a holiday, take a break for a while, which, you know, we all need to take a break at times, and there's nothing wrong with taking a trip away, but that isn't going to help us overcome those difficulties. And so often, we come back home, and that trial is still there, isn't that right? Absolutely. What we've had is just a holiday. And you know, sometimes we trust in people for help. We trust in relationships for comfort. And again, those things cannot help us when it comes to the storms of life, because God has planned for us to depend on him as the foundation for our lives, as the rock, as the shelter in a time of storm. You see, he is our hiding place. He is the one that we need to come to. And he is precious. He is precious. Let me ask you this morning, is Jesus Christ precious to you? The Bible says, if we're saved, he ought to be. He ought to be precious. He ought to be close to our hearts. And that's how we need to view him. Is he the foundation of your life? Is your life being built around Jesus Christ? Is he at the center of your family, parents? Is he at the center of your home, adults? Is Jesus Christ the one you're building your life upon? Now, good news, if you are, you will be able to weather those storms. You will be able to face those storms with courage. The storms will still come, but you will have a rock to stand on, amen? You won't be standing on sinking sand, uneven ground. You won't be standing an unfirm foundation. You will be building your life upon that which is sure, which is Christ our Savior. You know, really, he's the answer to our problems. He's the answer to our sin problem, most of all. When it comes to our need of salvation, look what verse 4 indicates. To whom coming as unto a living stone. You see, we need to come to the Savior for salvation. In fact, he invites us to come to him. You see, Christ is the answer for the saved and for the unsaved. When it comes to salvation, he invites us to come to him. Do you remember when the Lord said in the book of Matthew, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, he came down to us so that we could come to him. That's how precious he is. That he died on the cross. He shed his holy sinless blood out of love, out of mercy, out of compassion for your soul, so that we could come to him. Let me ask you this morning, have you come to Christ for salvation? Have you ran into his arms and called out to him in faith and repentance and asked him to save you once and for all? Are you standing on Christ, the solid rock? Until we are saved, we will continue to fall. But when we are saved, we stand on a solid rock. Amen? Amen. Absolutely. A foundation that was not there before. A foundation that we did not have. And when we receive him as Savior, is it true? It's then that we find out how precious he truly is. You know, when we get saved, we still don't fully understand the depth and the greatness of his love. We understand a measure of it in order to be saved. But when we are saved and we experience the forgiveness of sins and the joy of our salvation and the wonderful truth as we grow, Christ just becomes more and more precious to us. He ought to, if you're saved. Is he precious to you? Jesus said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Amen? You know, Christ's salvation is a sure foundation. It cannot be removed. It cannot be broken. It cannot be taken away. He is the rock of our salvation. Anytime you think that you can lose your salvation, my friends, you have got the wrong Savior in mind. He is unmovable. And we are planted firmly on solid ground. He is our foundation. Let me encourage you this morning to make sure that Christ is your foundation. For salvation, most importantly, are you saved? Do you know for sure that you have a home in heaven? Or has your life been shaky since you can ever remember? Or are you standing on the rock? Has there been a change? Is he precious to you? Are you growing? Is he becoming more precious? If you're here this morning and you might say, "Pastor, I'm in church, but to be honest, I don't give two hoots about Christ. You know, I know the Bible says he's precious, but he's not precious to me." Well, then there's a problem. Then there's a big problem. You might like Coastline Baptist Church, and I do too, but the reason we should be here is because Christ is precious. Is he precious to you? Are you saved? If you are saved, let me encourage you to get to know him more. Let me encourage you to be strengthened by understanding how firm a foundation we have. That is our foundation, our Savior. As we grow, that truth grows in our hearts. Secondly, in your notes, our fellowship. Once Christ is in place as our foundation, we have fellowship with him and we have fellowship one with another. Roman numeral 2, the blank is our fellowship. Fellowship. Notice verse number 5. The Bible says, "Ye also, as lively stones. So Christ is the living stone. Once we are saved, we are described as what? Lively stones. Christ comes to live within us. We are described as lively stones. And notice what the Bible says. We are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So what God does when we are saved, He describes us as lively stones, and then He places us into a form that He calls a spiritual house. A spiritual house. God forms a building. Now, throughout the Scriptures, the book of Ephesians, the book of Corinthians describes the church, the local New Testament church, as a building. There in your notes, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." You see, when God addresses the churches, He addresses them locally. Here at Coastline Baptist Church, we don't believe in a universal church. That's why I believe these verses are referring to the local church. God refers to the community of believers, saved, baptized believers, as a church. And a local church is a group of saved, baptized believers that have voluntarily joined together for the purposes of fulfilling, carrying out the Great Commission. That's what a local church is. And the Bible says that we are built up a spiritual house. You see, God wants us to be joined together to a local New Testament church. His desire for us is to be set in place, in a place that He desires to put us. And this is a precious truth. You see, once we are saved, we have a place that God wants us to be. A place where we are to glorify Him. Amen? A place where we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That is our lives in service to God. A place where He has a purpose for us. You know, we are spiritual stones. So we can talk about the fact that the Holy Spirit lives within us. The moment of your salvation, when you were saved, the Bible says each of us were given at least one spiritual gift. At least one, if not more. That's an exciting fact, isn't it? And those spiritual gifts are given to you and I for the purpose of that spiritual house, that local New Testament church, that we would serve and edify one another and be built up in the faith and fulfill God's will for our lives. This is a precious truth. This is our fellowship in Christ. Now, in the suburb in which we live, if you've come to our place recently, you would have noticed as you approach where we live, there's a big building project taking place in the local area. They're building many more houses, many more streets. As we've driven past each day, you know, we see those buildings being built. First of all, what's laid down at the beginning? Who can tell me? The foundation. The foundation. That concrete slab is laid down. I don't know exactly how they do it. I'm not a builder myself, and I don't have much experience in the area, but I know what I see. There's a foundation, there's a concrete foundation, and then there are blocks placed around the building site neatly in piles, ready to be put up and to be built as walls. Now, those blocks are still important pieces, whether they are on the side or whether they are already in the walls. They're still blocks, is that right? That's right. They have a purpose. And those individual blocks together form a building. Now, they were blocks before they got put into the house, and they are blocks after they're put into the house. But when the builder takes those blocks and puts them together to make a house, those blocks become useful. Amen? Those blocks have a purpose. Those blocks form together to become a beautiful place to dwell in. And you know, this is the precious picture that God gives us of the local New Testament church. And brethren, don't miss the preciousness of a spiritual house, a spiritual home. We have a place to be in. We have a place that God wants to set us in to form a spiritual house, a fit for our lives. And that ought to encourage us, amen. But that ought to also challenge us to serve. What spiritual gifts has God given you? They are gifts to the church. What spiritual gifts has God given me? We are to serve and work together for the glory of God. We are lively stones, built up a spiritual house. Let me encourage you to make Coastline Baptist Church your spiritual home. Amen? I trust it's precious to you. Don't take for granted what we have. All you need to do is look around, and then you'll very quickly say, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that we are in a church where we can grow in the truth of the Word of God, where we're not sidetracked into apostasy, where we have, by the grace of God, not launched into the emerging church movement where the next generation is growing up unsaved and headed to hell because they preach a false gospel. What a fearful, fearful place to be. Thank God we're not there. By God's grace, we never will be. Amen. I trust that Christ is precious to you. I trust that the house of God is precious to you. Notice we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. There in verse number 5. What are these spiritual sacrifices? Well, what did the Old Testament priests do at the tabernacle and at the temple? Who can tell me? What did they offer up? That's right. That's right. The lamb, they sacrificed and they offered up sacrifices, prayers, that's right. And as Christians, we are a royal priesthood, as we see in verse number 9. We are a royal priesthood. And we are, as Christians, priests of God. And we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Well, what are these spiritual sacrifices? Well, simply put, everything we do is to be in honor and glory of the Lord. Everything we do is to be for the glory of God. We are to give Jesus Christ our best. Now, all of us are works in progress, amen? Not all of us do that. The Word of God says we ought to. That's what we need to commit to and strive for. We are to give Christ the very best efforts of our lives. We are to put Him first. For example, we are to honor God with our work. With our work. If we have a job, we are to honor Him with that job in our efforts. You know, we ought to be the hardest working employee in the workplace. We ought to be one that turns up on time and leaves when we should, and not any earlier. And of course, don't be manipulated as well. You know, when the boss says, hey, work for another 24 hours overnight. Okay, we don't need to be pushovers, but we need to honor God and respect God in our work. We are to honor God in every area of our work. We are to honor the Lord in our families. This is what it means to lift up spiritual sacrifices to God. Our life ought to be honoring to the Lord. When it comes to the church, because this is the context of verse number 5, we come together to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. We come together to pray together. We come together to worship and sing spiritual hymns of praise to God. Let me encourage you, when we sing to the Lord, it shouldn't be a ho-hum, weary, painful thing to have to get through in order to get to the preaching. And the preaching shouldn't be a painful thing either, amen? And these things ought to be spiritual sacrifices lifted up to God. The songs of joy should fill our heart. We should be lifting up our voices as unto the Lord in honor of Him. That's why we wholeheartedly hold to godly music in our church. When it comes to the preaching of the Word of God, okay? I could be like Joel Osteen, all right? If I wanted to, easily. It would be too easy to be like him than to be godly, to be honest, in the flesh. And you know, the reality is, preaching is not meant to please people. It's meant to be a spiritual sacrifice offered up to God. The preaching of God's Word is meant to glorify Him. Not me, not you, but Him. The preaching is meant to please God according to His Word. And yes, the Word of God helps us, but the preaching of God's Word was never meant as a self-help philosophy. No, when God is honored and we obey Him, we are helped, amen? And when we please Him, we are helped as a natural result of obedience. That He is the one to be glorified. He is the one that needs to be the focus in the preaching at the church of God. Everything we do is to be offered to Him. Our giving. When we put money in the bag, I know it takes some effort, but focus on the fact that it is a time of worship. Allow your flesh to be put down, as the Apostle Paul says. You need to beat it down by focusing on the truth of what we're doing, on the Word of God, and say, Lord, I'm giving this to You. Lord, thank You for providing for me as You give Your tithes in worship to God. Lord, thank You for the privilege of supporting missionaries. Thank You that I can have a part. Lord, use these funds for Your glory. That's what our attitude should be in worship as we give. God says we ought to offer up spiritual sacrifices. It's a hard attitude when it comes to our life. We ought to do everything unto the Lord. Look with me, verse number 6. The Bible describes the Lord quickly here in verse 6. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. A chief cornerstone. Now, some of you may know more about building than I do, but the cornerstone is the most important part of the building, isn't it? Absolutely. It's the first stone that is laid in a building, and it's laid in position, and every other part of the building is built around the cornerstone. It determines the position of the building. It determines the angle of the walls and the structure. And it's a foundation stone. Without the cornerstone, that building will fall. Without the cornerstone, that building may be built, but it will be built incorrectly. And there will be big trouble. How many of us know when a cyclone comes? You built that building the wrong way, down it will come. You know, oftentimes that's like the trials in our lives. You know, the storms rage and the winds blow. And if we're saved, but if we are not building our lives on the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, our lives will be shaking. Our lives will be insecure. Our lives will be unsure. Though we are saved, we need to build our lives on Christ, you see. We need to build our lives on the things that are precious to Him. They need to be precious to us. And if we simply commit ourselves to the Lord, to build our lives upon Him, think about that chief cornerstone. If you build your life upon Christ as that chief cornerstone, you will be building a spiritually strong life. Amen. A life that is able to face the storms. Because Christ is in place and you're building upon Him. That's our precious fellowship with the Lord. These are wonderful truths. Amen. These are important foundational truths for the Christian life. Not complicated. Not some sort of a secret truth hidden in the Scriptures. He is the chief cornerstone. Let Him be that in your life. If there's something that you know Christ wants you to do that you have not chosen to do and build your life upon that desire of God in your life, let me encourage you to change your heart. Amen. Let God do His will and good pleasure in your life. Allow Him to build your life His way. Lastly, thirdly in your notes, He is also a rock of offence. Your last blank is the word offence. There in verse 7, the Bible tells us, unto you therefore which believe He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. You see, if we accept Christ as our Saviour, He is precious. But whoever rejects Him as Saviour, Christ becomes a terror to them. Christ becomes a stumbling block. Stumbling block is an obstacle in the way that one continues to fall over. One continues to fall because they will not recognize the stone that lays before them at that which it should be. And you know, in the book of the Revelation, as we'll read later on in chapter 6 in our studies, we read of those who have rejected the Son of God. We read of those in tribulation. And the Bible says that one day all the kings and all the rulers of this earth will hide in the rocks and the mountains, and they will want the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them because of the wrath of God that has come during the tribulation period. You see, Christ came once and was rejected, and He's still being rejected by many today. And when he comes again, those that reject Christ will be terrified at his presence. Notice Matthew chapter 21. Christ said, "And whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken." You see, if we come to Christ for salvation with a broken and contrite heart, we can be saved. If we fall upon Christ and we repent of our sins and trust Him fully as our Savior, and we come in brokenness and sorrow over our sins, we are saved. But notice what Jesus said, "But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." You see, either He is our Savior or He is our Judge. We need to make sure we're saved. Those who reject Him one day will experience this fearful prophecy. The rock will come down upon them. He's the stone of stumbling. There are people all around us that are falling, are they not? Because they've rejected Christ. They're falling because they're stumbling over the stone which they've rejected. And you see, people around us, if they reject Christ, will continue to fall and fall and fall and fall. And one day they will stand ashamed and terrified before the Lord, having rejected Him as Savior, and then they will fall once again into eternal judgment forever, separated from God. That's the outcome. You see, either He is our foundation stone, or He is a stone of stumbling. And as Christians, we need to witness to others, do we not? We need to tell them about the stone which they've rejected, which must be set in place in their life, amen? We need to tell them of He which is precious to us. Now, the only way for you and I to do that is if we allow Him to be precious, amen? If we live according to His Word, if we grow in Christ, we can weather the storm and we can tell others that need to hear. Pastor, why are there so many people falling around in the world? Well, the Bible tells us right here, because they've left off the need of Christ. That's the answer. It's not the government's fault. It is not the natural disasters of the world. It is not the poverty. We are not here as Christians to cure the world from poverty, amen? We are to be a witness for Christ, to bring them to the foundation stone of eternity. We are to bring them to Him. Let me encourage you, grow in strength, amen, in Christ. Allow Him to be precious. May He be more precious to you this week. Verse number 6, let me close with this. Lastly, at the end of the verse, "He that believeth on Him shall not be confounded." Do you know what that word confounded means? Brought down to shame. The unsaved will stand ashamed before the Lord. But for you and I who have Christ as our foundation, who build our lives upon Him, we will not be brought down to shame, amen? We will not be confounded. We have a solid rock. Amen. Amen.